Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Welcome back to Rosie on the House. Hey, good morning, Rosie. It's unusual for you to be on the other side of the microphone. Rennie tells me.
There's only a speaker on the listener side of radio. There's no microphone.
Well, the other side of the microphone is a speaker. Okay, so can I beg a little forgiveness here? I have a new thing, Romy. It's called ICU PTSD. You sleep in a room for 53 days with bings and bangs and alarms and people coming in every 5 minutes. You just
like trying to sleep in Vegas.
You lose connectivity and you lose vocabulary. But anyway, yeah. So good morning, Rosie.
And it sounds like he's down there with Uncle Rennie's down there hanging out, and he's sending us some texts.
Yeah, and you know, Rosie's sense of humor is coming back. You know, he was sedated for a long time, so it takes a little while to kind of wake up. And so we've noticed this week his sense of humor is back. So the doctor came in this week and said, "Hey, Rosie, do you have any pain?" Rosie nodded. So, and Rennie was in the room with him. He said, "You do? Well, you know, where is it?" And he pointed at Rennie. Now, Rennie doesn't deserve that because Rennie brought me breakfast, Rosie, every day for 4 weeks. It was amazing. That was my little care package every morning. And the other thing was I was trying to explain
that's
to him.
That's just Dad and Rennie's joking
relationship. Oh, it is, yeah. That's how you know you love each other, if you tease each other, right?
Yeah.
So, and the other thing was, so I was trying to explain to him about some meds. He was upset about some meds. And so I explained it all to him. I said, "Do you understand?" He goes, "Yes, Dr. Jennifer." And he mouthed that to me. I said, you know what? So I said, "Okay, you can just call me Doc McJennifer."
There you go.
That's my new tag name.
Somebody was trying to get his name right, and he kept rolling his eyes at him like, "No, try again."
Man,
no,
those eyes are expressive. Again. You don't have to guess what he's...
No, try again. You're still not getting it right.
And if you tell him something, he already knows because he's... People just don't know, so they repeat themselves like, I know.
We had talked about needing to make sure Rosie was in a protected environment just because even though we were requesting only family, and I can say this now because most of them are, I think they're all gone back to their different parts of the country they live in. There's even some family members we weren't invited to eat too.
Well, you know, part of that's, you know what part of that is? Rosie is so private. I mean, he is so very private. You think of him as this public, warm person, and he is, but he's also got this alter ego that likes to be home, alone, just right, you know, family, kids, grandkids, me. And so to have a lot of people in this room just watching him not feel good is just not his bag.
No, and regardless of that, still people well-intentioned that want to help, we're still showing up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is just because of how they feel like family. We posted a link to it's CaringBridge.
CaringBridge.org. I started a blog early on.
And on this website, you can follow Mom's journal entries about Dad's recovery and the process. And
it is under Rosie's Recovery. Apparently, there's several Rosies, and some people have posted on the wrong Rosie, but it's called Rosie's Recovery, and it kind of tells us the journey we've been through. And I also put an update. If you're just finding this out, you can go on. I put a blog on just for today.
And we posted that on Facebook just to make it easy for people to find the exact link because it's caringbridge.org/Rosie's Recovery. Or journal/Rosie's Recovery or something like that. And immediately somebody posted on there, it said, "I feel like one of your family." I mean, that's just Rosie's gift of making
that's his way.
That connection, something that they always talked about his dad, Papa Rosie, Dr. Rosie, Dr. Rosie's brother-in-law, they called him Uncle Smiley. And that was extreme sarcasm. He was...
Not Smiley.
I'm trying to think of exactly how they I don't think I can say what they called him on air, so I won't say it. If you have to think, don't. If you have to think of whether or not you should say it, don't. So they called him Uncle Smiley, and he said about Papa Rose, you know, there's never been a man that could make friends faster and keep them longer than Dr. Rosie, and that's something that I think Dad had really learned from Papa Rose and has that gift. And you know, this is Saturday morning. Most of, you know, we've got a lot of listeners in vehicles, a lot of listeners on I would, you can't say Walkmans anymore, on their phones out streaming while they're jogging or riding their bike. But the majority were in their home. This is Saturday morning. We've been in their home for 30 years. They feel that close connection to Rosie.
One thing I learned from Rosie was, you know, we'll be at a home show or an event or just out. We'll be out to dinner and somebody will recognize his voice. And they don't necessarily recognize his face, but as soon as he starts talking, they're like, hey, I think that's Rosie. And they'll, you know, they'll come over and he's always so very gracious. And they'll say, oh, you know, you're Rosie Romero, blah, blah, blah. And, but he always turns around to, and who are you? And how are you? And, you know, it's more like, what can I do for you than, aren't you glad you can meet me? You know, so I learned that from him. And I just think it's a wonderful gift.
And you can see when people are searching, because very rarely, well, very, very rarely, I don't know that there's ever been a case where you hear or listen to somebody on the radio and then see a picture of them or meet them in person, and you're like, you look nothing like I thought, you know, or no one ever says, you look exactly like I thought. So they're... Yeah. Their eyes are moving, trying to pick out who, because they've got this perception of what this person looks like that they listen to and recognize the voice of, and they're trying to tie it to a physical feature that doesn't match what they've predetermined in their mind. And you can just see their eyes moving and looking and searching, and you know, all right, that's a listener. We're going to have to go say hello and make a few extra times to greet this person, because they're searching and they want to say something. So you make it comfortable for them by, you know, approaching them first. Mm-hmm. But you can immediately see the eyes start to look and like, okay, where? I hear it. I don't see it.
Pretty distinct voice, isn't it?
It is. One of the fun stories, putting this all together. So the first day he stood up was that Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
That was also the first day of the NFR, 10-day. It's basically the Super Bowl of rodeo. It's a 10-day event in Vegas. So kind of
cowboy up.
Yeah.
Kind of goes together.
Dad's way a cowboy
and up. Yeah. He kind of missed the LSU, you know, last four games. I've got them all recorded. And the one game he missed was the highest scoring in
Texas A&M shootout. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Make sure he's in much better shape before watching that.
Oh, and there's one that was so bad where we got, I won't even tell him because he's listening, but I'm going to delete that one so he didn't have to stress through that one.
I hate to say it. We all kind of just expect it from Alabama right now. They're pretty unstoppable.
So, yeah, and so then they're coming for the Fiesta Bowl. So that's kind of
exciting. We have tickets. We were trying to decide, okay, do we go? And so many people were talking about, hey, no, we've got to go do this with Dad. Well, you know what? Dad would want us at the game. He'd want, you know, he would be going.
Yeah.
He'd be buying tickets for the whole family. Yeah, that's great. We'll have some people in his room, but he's still going to be tired, you know?
Yeah, he's got a long way to go. You know, for one thing, I want to say, if anybody has ever said to me that their family member or themselves has been in ICU, I apologize because I did not react appropriately. I just think, oh, ICU. But this is a traumatic experience. You're trying to keep people alive, bring them to a point of being stable. It's hair-raising, and I just, it's a hard thing. So anyway, being in the ICU that long, you're very weak, and it's going to take him some time to build up. But I spoke to him yesterday. I said, you still want to do the radio? He goes, oh, yeah. So he'll be back. We just got to get him back on, use the holidays to rest and recuperate.
And he... you'd mentioned other people with ICU stories. It's amazing how many people have been in that circumstance you never knew about before until they hear about us. You know, one of our partners who's been with us as long as I can remember, I can picture meeting him the first time at the construction office, 03, I'm going to say. But he's like, hey, my dad was in for 3 months in ICU. I know what you're going through. Let me know what we can do. And his was just his dad's was a result of a surgery that was supposed to not be that big of a deal. It didn't take, and he ended up, and he recovered, and he's still with them. And then last week, our dairyman, Kevin Dan Sizen, said, I was in an accident and sedated for 10 days. He said, it is the strangest thing because, you know, 1 minute you're just driving along, and all of a sudden it's 10 days later, and you're just so confused, and... You know, there's this huge amount of anxiety. What the heck's going on? What did I miss? Am I going to be okay? It's an extremely mental challenge as well as the physical side.
I just want to say thank you, too. And so many people have offered help, and there's just really the most important thing is being with him, which is what I'm doing. But to all the people who have held me up, you know, you and the guys at the office, we have the best team we've ever had at Rosie on the House right now. There is not a single person that you would ever find shopping the internet or, you know, running outside for a million breaks. Everybody is on task. Everybody understands our mission and our vision, and they love Rosie. And so it has been just really heartwarming to see everybody step up, step in. I have people spraying my yard. I have people mowing my lawn. I have all the kids. All our kids have. That's why I have a big family. all the kids have been such an amazing help. And I just want to thank everybody. And the most important thing is the prayers. And the thousands of prayers across the country are pretty amazing. And I just really thank you all for that. Because when you're hurting like that as a family member, it's hard to even pray, you know. You're just kind of stunned. So thank you for all the support.
And the you had mentioned Groundhog's Day, the repetitiveness of that. You know, 2 weeks later and it's still the same prayer. 3 weeks later, it's still the same prayer. You just the mental game that can start playing at you if you're not in a good spiritual place is.
I started
it's
the
very real.
I reread the blog last night just to remind myself of everything, and I posted something on November 3rd. We're gonna do this, you know, da da da, and it didn't happen until the 25th. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But we're just very thankful that he's in the place he is. God has a reason for him to be here, and he has so much purpose and so much life left, and we're just so thankful for that. It's a merciful gift.
It is, and absolutely on the staff there is times and. You know, the past where we had the personnel, this story would not be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is. We've spent a really long time working on scaling up the staff at the office, and it's paid off just in time.
Thank you to all of them. Yeah. So what do we have left? Minute.
I was going to say, all of us at the office, we want to thank Rosie for the extra 5 to 8 pounds that we've put on because of all the pizza
all the,
and cookies and
all the goodies he's missing, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how does everyone know my weakness is anything with peanut butter? The amount of peanut butter cookies. We've never gotten peanut butter cookies at the office. There's a new stack that shows up every day, it seems like. There's peanut butter cookies everywhere. I'm like, all right.
And peanut butter cups, and oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. This does a lot knowing people are for you.
All right, so we have one final segment. We've gotten a lot of questions and inquiries. I haven't read any of them, but you know, I see multiple comments here and texts coming in and emails. So we'll read through it on this break, and if there's any questions we haven't answered. Julia is here, Julia Bradshaw from the Walter Cronkite School of Broadcasting, and screening calls today. So if there's something that you would like additional information for, and then we'll give the P.O. box on where to send the cards. I'll wait and do that after the next break so people have a chance to grab a pen and a piece of paper if you'd like to send Rosie a card.
And have some special comments on some of the cards I thought would be fun to cover, too.
Nice.